Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley.
How are you?
Tip top.
Good, good.
So the sun's coming back. In Fairbanks, the seasons change so fast. We gain 7 minutes a day of light.
It's violent. We are getting a lot of light. It is turning
around.
Yeah,
I was up at 7, out of the house at 7 this morning, and there was a little bit of light in the air, taking the exchange students to school. So it was interesting. The change of seasons upon us. Though the interesting thing happens this time of year is the people who are susceptible go crazy.
Yeah, you can see it in the streets especially. You can see it just with a lot of people who have been in Fairbanks their entire lives. As somebody who's lived in Fairbanks their entire life, I feel it.
You know, it's interesting. There's a spring thing, right? Mm-hmm. We're nowhere near spring. It's been 40 below all week.
Oh my gosh, it's March 2nd and it's 40 below. It should be illegal.
And there's at least 4 feet of snow on the ground, if not 4.5.
Yeah, there's like 5.
And if it's piled up, it could be 15 feet of snow on the
ground. There are mountains. I have not seen mountains of snow berms since I was a kid. This has been probably the roughest winter I've ever experienced in my adult life.
You know, it's funny because I think, oh God, this all the snow, this is great. I hope we get more.
I hope it just reaches a reasonable temperature that we can go play in it.
So the thing that, yeah, that'd be fine. The thing that, we wouldn't play it anyways, by the way. The thing that is interesting to me, because I didn't grow up here. I moved here as an adult, but though I've been living here for 26 years now, so I've been here a while, is that people, you know, not universally, but commonly, feel it in the springtime. They get a mood. They get restless. They get depressed. They get this thing, which is a seasonal affective disorder because you got a mood going with the season. Now, it was not what I expected. It actually surprised me.
Well, it's so surprising because it's spring, right? And the daylight is coming back and the warmth is coming back. So you would think people would be happy about it. And in the fall, when we lose our light, when we get colder, that's when people would be
sad.
Sad.
Yeah.
So why does it happen in spring?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, no one knows really. I know a lot about this.
Yeah.
I've been learning how to treat it. Bottom line, that's the thing. I mean, I got ideas, and my ideas result in successful treatment. So I might be right about what it is. And I think that the reason why people get a mood in the springtime is because there's a lag in their dopamine levels. That dopamine, when we have dopamine in our body, we feel alert, we feel engaged, we feel like on top of things. We feel fabulous. Dopamine is a great feeling. Dopamine is king of the world, fist pumping.
Yeah, dopamine is great.
Woo!
Dopamine is great when you earn it. Not the fast release dopamine, not that easy get dopamine that you get by opening up your cell phone or eating ice cream or eating potato chips. That dopamine is very bad for
fleeting.
You.
Fleeting, addicting, and sets up bad habits.
Yep.
For sure. Gambling, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? There's lots of ways to get a dopamine hit. Lots of them are really unhealthy, and people do it all the time. And that's what's going on right now. The crazy factor goes up because people really need the dopamine. Now, if you want to get dopamine, it's easy enough just to go do something crazy. Do something dangerous.
Go for a run outside in 30 below.
And it'll go up. That's a healthy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to Las Vegas and lose the $10,000. You'll get a dopamine hit.
Oh, my gosh.
Woo-hoo!
Crazy.
Or win $10,000, better yet, but that's what you're looking for. Anyways, the dopamine turns out to be the issue. Let's go back and put some history into this conversation. Back in the 90s, when I was in medical school, there was this thing called seasonal affective disorder. As far as I knew, it had just been invented because they put a name on it.
Now, they had clearly, just discovered it.
This had been in life before that. People already knew it. you know, I think cabin fever to some extent is a, you know, it's a you don't actually get a fever.
Right, but you feel like you have got a fever.
Yeah, and you really get restless and you got to go do something. And that's, you know, the old-timers call it cabin fever. I think that's really another name for the same thing we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You feel ill at ease is what you feel. And so they coined a name for it. They call seasonal affective disorder. And they didn't know what was causing it. Back at the time, there was all kinds of speculation. The leading theory was the vitamin D levels were low because when we lose the light, we lose the production of vitamin D. Vitamin D, in order to get the actual vitamin, the pre-vitamin or pro-vitamin, they call it, has to be activated by light on in your skin. You have to have light shine in your skin of a certain intensity, and then the vitamin D will convert, and then you'll get vitamin D and you'll feel better. Your mood goes up, and this is a real thing too, except for it didn't really pan out because people were... They checked vitamin D levels, and they really didn't correlate to people's moods very well. There was kind of a loose correlation, but not a real tight correlation. And it turns out that as time went on, we figured out exactly what it was. Now, one of the clues that helped with this, figuring out what was causing seasonal affective disorder, was the fact that people felt better with light. And it doesn't have to come from the sun. It just can come from a light panel. They discovered that the light needed to have a hint of blue in it. That's 10,000, and be nice and bright, 10,000 lumens, hint of blue. And they had these giant panels that you could buy. But it turns out they didn't need to be giant. They made them small, and the small ones worked just as well as the giant ones. It just they had to be really bright, and they had to be slightly blue. Most of the time, people use them in the morning, and their mood would pick up. Sometimes people use it in the afternoon, and their mood would pick up. I was an afternoon guy, which is interesting, because I tried them. I try everything. Right?
Yeah.
I want to see what it feels like. And so what I noticed...
Did you experience the dip in mood?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I first moved here?
Okay.
Not very much, because I exercise and I do much other things. It's subtle. It wasn't enough to shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd feel it. I'd feel restless. You know, what I would do, it's interesting you ask that question, because yes, the answer is yes. Here's what I would do. I would go to Fred Meyer, which is a big shopping center, and there's a place in the middle where you can go eat. It's high up. It's away from... people,
uh-huh.
You know, because you're not in the middle of things, and it's lit all to heck, and there's a sense of space. And I would sit up there.
And people for watch.
My mood would come up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exactly sure why. There was a thing that happened. I recognized that is the space of happiness and joy for me. Now, at this point, I never get this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely acclimatized to it. It just never shows up for me. So, you know, I never have to go to Fred Meyer in that little space anymore. That space was closed down during COVID, by the way, but it's opened up now.
Now it is? Okay, yeah. I remember
going
there.
Yeah, anyways, I felt better for it because I got that sense of open space and bright light. It's well lit. Fred Meyer's well lit, so that was really what I was getting. So it turns out it was light. Okay, so with that clue, what does light have to do with mood? And the answer is when you got bright lights in your eyes, your brain makes dopamine.
Yes.
And dopamine levels go up. And so you feel better. So at that point, we just figured out ways to get dopamine levels to go up. Now, light does it, but it does it weekly. Not every week, in a week fashion.
Okay, so light triggers dopamine production.
Yes.
Now, we have little boxes of light that we're staring at all day, every day.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, we're completely... I think we are... you know, burning out our dopamine centers.
Yeah, you know, you're right. We don't get it honestly anymore. We get these little weird hits. So things don't work as well as they do when we go outside and run around, right?
Right.
You get a different kind of experience.
No, I mean, we have to sit at a computer screen all day, which I don't think produces as much dopamine as our cell phones. Our cell phones have ultra-contrasted light, ultra-contrasted colors. It's interactive. It pops, it vibrates, it sings, it buzzes.
Novelty does this, by the way.
Right.
So if you're sitting in front of a computer screen, same picture, I mean, pretty soon, yeah, you know, any dopamine from it whatsoever. I don't
right.
matter bright, how bright it is.
And usually, like, a computer is more oriented for, like, working tasks. You have to be
as
upright.
As opposed to feeding your addiction.
Right. Cell phones are a little bit more, like, playful, I think, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it turns out it's a thing.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
A
human beings
thing.
Have certain things, and you can do other things, and pretty soon you're making money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they brag on it. This is the most addicting game ever.
I know.
Well, I'm gonna stay away from it. Please.
Okay, no, thank you.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, dopamine is a way to do it. So if you get dopamine levels to go up, then you feel better. So in the past, before we knew exactly what was going on, we would have people do stuff. Now, one of the things I discovered, and we already talked about this, if you go out and exercise, you
don't tell me it's exercise. Don't say exercise. If you say exercise one episode, I'm going to quit.
We always say exercise. It always boils down to exercise.
It is.
It does. It is.
Really is.
Let me get the punchline. Eat right. You need protein, by the way, to make dopamine. Sleep. You need sleep for the whole system to work well. You need exercise, again, for the whole system to work well. And you need purpose in life. You need to have some direction, some goals, drive. You put those all those together, and then suddenly you don't have a problem anymore. Seasonal affective disorder goes away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is the cure. I just hit the punchline. So everybody's listening. That's how to do it.
And I was going to ask you to recommend a dozen herbs or supplements.
There is, actually. Turns out there's a bunch of stuff you can do to enhance that.
Right, but that's the augmentation of the exercise and the sleep and the diet and refraining from dousing your system with too much dopamine from your cell phone.
Yeah, here's the thing. The big question here is why? I mean, we talk about dopamine, yeah, but why is the dopamine wired the way it is? What the heck is that all about? And there's some advantage for people to go out and do stuff. That is genetically for our, you know, for our lives as a whole. I'm not sure. Do we hook up or do we find better berries or there's something, there's a survival benefit for us being driven out of the cave, out into the outside to run around and go have adventures. That's why we feel this, is because we're driven to have a rich and varied life.
Mm-hmm.
Full of challenges and adventures. That is what we're, the program in us is pushing us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we stay in our cabin because it's 40 below and there's nothing to do outside except for, I don't know, split wood or something. You know, it just doesn't, you know, you can do that for a while and then eventually you get restless. Mm-hmm. And then what you have to do is you got to get snowshoes on and start booking off into the woods. You go talk to Harry who lives 40 miles down the river.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
Or, in town, I get up in my car and I drive to Fred Meyer and sit up in the open area and get lots of light and space and people walking around.
You're also kind of noting another segment of it, which is like connection, which is like surrounding yourself with other people, which is so hard to do in Fairbanks, Alaska, when everybody's in their house and nobody's out doing things.
Yeah, that's why they invented hockey. You go to a hockey game, your dopamine levels rise beautifully because that place is full of screaming fans. I mean, hockey's a game here in town. It's big, it's well lit, it's full of energy. People light up when they go to hockey. So there's another way to do it. You go to something, some, you know, big area.
I played soccer this weekend. That was so fun. But
yeah,
I
same
am.
Thing. You know, so soccer indoors, again, is well lit.
Yep.
You're running around, you're having fun. So we have. A kid. We have actually kids right now because we have these exchange students over there. So we have three kids. And so we're out running around doing stuff all the time at games because two of the girls are both cheerleaders. It's funny. They're American cheerleaders. The one is from Brazil. The other one's from Italy. But they got it down. They know how to cheer.
Yay!
F-I-G-H-T. Fight, fight, fight. Right? The
good.
Whole thing. And then my 10-year-old, we go play soccer and stuff. So we got one of the reasons why I don't get this anymore is because I don't have any time to get seasonal affective disorder because I got, you know, things to do nearly every week. I mean not every week, every day of the week that I have to go do a thing. I mean, I'm lucky if I get to stay home. And so I'm getting the stimulation that generates the dopamine in a normal fashion because there's challenges and there's light and there's people and there's conversations and there's exercise and there's all those things that really make the system work.
No,
that's how it goes.
That's great. That's wonderful for you. There are so many people out there
who can't.
Who can't. Who
can't,
don't have
who can't.
That.
For whatever reason, there's a variety of reasons.
Are
what do they do?
Isolated.
Mm-hmm. And for good and sufficient reasons, they're isolated. I know people. You and I both know people like that. Patients here who can't get out for reasons. And what they need to do is get their dopamine up, levels up, doing other things. Things that are within their realm of, you know, capabilities. One of the things that helps is, aside from light, is actually making more dopamine the old-fashioned way, which is taking tyrosine, which is an amino acid, and converting it into dopamine under the influence of B vitamins. So that's how we get dopamine in real life.
So is that taking a tyrosine supplement and a B12 supplement, or
it's actually B6 works better. I just usually what I'll do is I'll do a B complex because the B5 and the B6 and the B12 help in other ways. There's other pathways, so it's not just all the one dopamine. That's it. That's all we're looking at. We're looking at catecholamines as a whole. We're looking at other things, cortisol levels, other kinds of stuff. That if, when they're in the mix, your mood tends to go up even more. Mm-hmm. So I want to take a broader kind of shotgun approach of fixing this thing, not necessarily a narrow approach, but definitely focusing on dopamine to be able to do this. So what here's what you do. You take the stuff that you need to make dopamine and other catecholamines. Catecholamines are the group of these things. Dopamine is an example in that group. Anyway, so you take the stuff, and then you got to jiggle it. So you do, in fact, have to exercise. You're going to have to stretch. You're going to have to walk around. You're going to have to do something. You literally have to get up and move in order to trigger the conversion. You need to create a need for dopamine before your body will go through the time and trouble of actually doing the conversion, mm-hmm. at least in a significant fashion. And so you take the stuff that you need, and then you jiggle around a little bit, and you get the dopamine to go. So that works great. That is a valid, proven, effective treatment for this. But there's a better treatment. I don't know, better is the right word. There's a treatment that's stronger. Now, it's so strong, now we're getting into side effects. The stronger something is, the more likely it's going to have some kind of side effect.
Okay.
Now, the stronger thing is you can take this bean powder. It's a Mucuna Prans. Yeah, is the name of the bean. Velvet bean is the common name of this bean. And they grow these beans and dry them and powderize them and sell them in bags of powder. You can get them in capsule form, too, if you want. But we prefer to get the powder. It's cheaper. It doesn't taste bad. It's bean powder, right? So
yeah. And so then you what are the side effects?
Your blood pressure will go low.
Oh.
So let's talk about how to take it, first of all. You get a bag of bean powder, the Mucuna Prans powder, and then you do a quarter teaspoon, in a little water, mix it, drink it. And it doesn't taste bad, so it's an easy thing to take. And then you, walk around. You do some kind of exercise. We were doing some experiments to see how little exercise we could do and get it to work. Seems about a minute is the minimum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what we would do is run in place. Actually, we're doing jump rope. I mean, not everybody can jump a rope. There's right. that. But it's that thing where you go jump, 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 jump. Or you go step, 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 for a minute. Now, a minute doesn't sound like a long time. It is.
Mm-hmm.
I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
You actually get a stopwatch and go for a minute.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, holy moly, who could run for a minute? It's hard. So you definitely get in some stimulation for
yes,
sure. But
absolutely.
It's only a minute. I mean, it's not that much to do. And so you do a shot of Mucuna and you run for a minute. Now, quarter teaspoon. What if we did a half teaspoon? Would that work better? Yes. What about 3/4? Yes. What about a whole teaspoon? Yes. But eventually, this whole thing works well enough, you start getting this low blood pressure. Your blood pressure goes down low. Now, if you got high blood pressure, well, this is an added benefit is what it is.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
But if you already have low blood pressure.
Yeah, this is dangerous.
You
could get dizzy
yes.
from this. This is, we're edging into drugs. Now, the reason why the bean powder works is because the bean makes this protein called L-DOPA. And L-DOPA is one step away from dopamine. Now, you think, actually, if you think about dopamine, you think, why don't we just take dopamine? That's easy enough. We'll just put dopamine in a pill and swallow it, and we'll have dopamine. Nah, it doesn't work. The reason why is because the body, the brain in particular, has to regulate dopamine. If dopamine levels get too high, you get overstimulated, you get crazy. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. It's not good for your survival. So what your brain does is it regulates
the dopamine. What are the symptoms of too much dopamine? You're overstimulated.
Overconfident.
Overconfident. You think you can do anything. You have no inhibition.
Exactly. Right. Let's jump off the top of the roof, and we're going to jump down in that snow pile. It'll be great. It's going to be so fun.
Does it feel...
It's not fun,
like
by the way.
Like a manic?
Can be.
Okay.
You can get... Also, you get panic attacks.
Okay.
That's the other thing you can get from it. Yes. So you end up becoming unbalanced.
So
unstable. Wait. This is an uncommon thing.
Okay.
Because it's hard to do. Because the brain's set up not to do it. We don't need to talk about it much because you got to really bend over backwards to get this thing to go.
Well,
it's going to take some serious drugs.
I'm also just thinking, like, with the return of daylight, if these individuals who suffer from seasonal affective disorder, if they get too much dopamine with all of the sun coming in, and that's what causes them to feel... Okay.
No. Good question. That's an excellent thought. The answer is no. That's not what's happening. What's happening is they're hungry for dopamine. Let me explain it. you gradually go into low dopamine, you don't notice. Because you're just staying home and you're just doing the thing and it feels normal, right? You know, it's 40 below and dark and whatever, so you're just going to hang low. And then eventually you get restless from it, and then you feel kind of glum, and you feel like, hey, winter, right? I wish the snow would melt. And then the sun comes out, and you get a little hit of dopamine, and you feel better, and you feel good enough that you think, I'm starting to feel better. Your energy comes up. I'm feeling hopeful again. Okay, excellent. I have energy now. Let's go kill myself. Seriously. Because if you're really feeling down, you don't have enough energy to even think about killing yourself. But now you're feeling better.
Now we can do something about it. Yeah.
Let's go do something. Yeah. I'll solve this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there it is.
Yeah.
And then the suicide rate goes up in the spring.
Yeah.
Now that's an extreme case. There's not much real danger of that, by the way. But there is danger of you doing something crazy. There is danger of you making a decision that later you'll regret. Ooh, there's a lot of that going around.
Oh, yeah. Summer's in the air.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. People do crazy stuff. And they feel, you know, energized from it. But it's not necessarily a good thing to do.
Not healthy, right.
No, it's not healthy.
So it's healthier to have consistent dopamine levels through earning it, honestly, not cheap dopamine that you have to work for through exercise, diet, sleep.
Yeah, let's talk about unhealthy ways to get dopamine. I can think of one that works really, really well. It is unbelievably effective. It is the most effective thing we've talked about, and that is doing meth.
Yeah, or nicotine.
Yeah, and meth more so.
Okay.
Meth really is special. Meth will take whatever dopamine you have in storage and release it all at once.
Yep.
And you will feel fabulous.
Yep.
And this will solve your problems, and you're just on top of the world, and you cannot believe how much better your life is. And this has really made a difference in how you feel, and then you come down. And when you come down lower than when you started.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah.
You use whatever dopamine you had, you use it up. So now you're deficient in dopamine. Yes. You didn't make any more. No. You just took all your stored stuff and you put it in circulation. So you're thinking, I wonder if I get that feeling again at my earliest opportunity. So then you take it again, and you go up again, because you might have made a little bit of dopamine, but not as high as you did the first time. And when you come back down lower again. And it's in short order, all you're doing is trying to feel normal, back to where you were when you were started, even mm-hmm. though it wasn't great. That's what meth does.
Yeah.
It brings you back to normal, so you feel normal. And then when you go down, you feel absolutely horrible. And it kills your appetite, because dopamine has this appetiting.
And you're not sleeping.
A bunch of stuff. A bunch of stuff happened. The side effects are hellacious, life-wrecking. This is the reason why meth has such a bad reputation. Well-deserved, mind you, for ruining lives.
Yeah, we see a lot of it in Fairbanks. We see a lot of our downtown community, some of our homeless population, most all of our homeless population. And it seems like in the spring is when those individuals tend to stir up and start seeking for their dopamine and using more.
And doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's you read about it in the paper. Most of it all happens at night when I'm asleep, by the way.
I'll walk to the bank. I have seen quite a lot. I've lived in downtown a couple times in my life, and I've seen it at 7 o'clock in the morning. I've seen it at...
I assume those people were up all night.
10 o'clock in the morning, right. Yeah, I've
Yep. Well, there's crazies everywhere. And Fairbanks has a fair amount. I don't actually see them, so I don't... When I think of Fairbanks, I think it's safe and homey and lots of families and kids doing stuff, because that's the world I live in. Safe mm-hmm. and homey with lots of families, kids doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going from kid event to kid event. And you know, in bed by 9.
Yeah.
And so I live in this safe little bubble.
Right.
And so the dealio for me is I have to go out of my way to try to do something to jazz it up.
Right.
Whereas if I was living at night.
Yeah.
Well, in the night world.
You know, make that parallel correlation. Like, you know, those individuals are no different from the average person who is going stir crazy in their house, who is getting the cabin fever. They might not be turning to meth yet for their fix, but the symptoms are the same.
So, I don't think... here's the thing. I think it's so obvious not doing meth. It's just such an obvious, most obvious thing, right?
Yeah.
Except for, it actually isn't. Because when you are desperate, when you are restless, when you are bored, when you are whatever, your life's not working, and you start casting about for solutions, it is a thing. It exists in the world we live in. If you are determined to get meth, you can get meth.
Oh, yeah.
And it will work. You will feel better in the short run. So I just want to caution everybody, it doesn't work
don't
in the
do
long
it.
Run. Yeah, don't do it. Really, it as a strategy of life, it sucks. It's not going to get you what you actually want. What you want is a life that works. What you want to be is happy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be happy for a minute, but you can be sadder in, you know, in whatever, in shortly. In this case, it's called that. In shortly, you're going to be sadder. And it doesn't work as a life strategy. Well, I have a fair number of folks that have been addicted and recovered who come in as patients. I mean, we saw one just a couple days ago. And his life's turning around. He's feeling great. Things are coming together for him. He really appreciates the advice that I'm giving him. But if he ever gets a tough go, he has to struggle with that. I know a solution to my problem. All I need to go get is meth. But I know that where that leads to, it leads to death, destruction, and despair. I got to come up with something else instead. Isn't it great of the things that we talk about, things that you can do? So let me go down the list again. The thing to do is really get down to the basics. Every show we've ever done comes down to this, I'm sorry to say. But it still is real. This is actually what works. What you need to do is you need to sleep at night. You need to eat protein. The dopamine and catecholamines are made from protein. If you want to be fancy about it...
Catecholamines are made from protein?
Yes, they are. They're made from protein. If you want to be fancy about it, you can take extra tyrosine. But tyrosine by itself isn't going to work because tyrosine is not dopamine. It has to be converted. So in order to do the conversion, you need to take B vitamins or have them in your body. It's, you know, B vitamins tend to be get used up, so you really just need to get some. Just take them. They're cheap and easy to take. And then what you need to do is you need to jiggle your bits. You need to stimulate the call for dopamine, and that is called doing some kind of exercise. Now, we talked about, kind of jokingly, what's the minimum amount of exercise it takes to do this, and it turns out to be about a minute. But, you know, really what you should be doing is more than a minute of exercise. A minute of exercise isn't really going to, it's going to get the bare minimum done, enough where you're going to feel it. But if you can do, you know, 20 minutes of exercise or half hour of exercise, you know, walking or bike riding or snowshoeing this time of year or whatever, anything that lights you up, anything that's fun, anything that's a challenge, anything that really gets your brain having to think about it. You know, when you get down to it, if you want to talk about one of the best exercises you can possibly do to cure this is folk dancing.
Really?
Really, really, absolutely. Folk dancing is well lit. It's a bunch of nice smiling people. It's hard, you know, mm-hmm. in the sense you got to know how to move
the
your
pattern.
Body. Yeah, and it's also scary as heck unless you've done it before. Now it turns
out. I've done it once. I was terrified. I had to pick a partner. That was.
Yeah, there's all of that. Right.
Right.
And then that's the reason why people get lit.
Or even, you know, go play a sport. Sports
yeah,
will do it to
you. Yeah, that's another way to do it.
Like, I went out and played soccer last weekend, and, oh, I had to be chosen on a team or to choose a team. Like, that in itself
there you go.
Was terrifying.
See, now you get the interpersonal relationship stuff, and that activates your dopamine in spades. And so now you feel a lot better for it. And you especially feel better if you can actually do it and survive, right? You do it and you have a good experience, it comes out all right. The folk dancing thing, here in Fairbanks, there's a folk dancing, a contra dancing happens first Friday, third Saturday of the month over at the dance hall at Alaska Land.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's not hard to do, it's cheap to do it. I know it's 10 bucks or something.
10 bucks
like
to drop in, yeah.
And they use the 10 bucks to pay for the band because it's got a live band. And they're really, really, really good about showing new people how to do this because every time there's a whole bunch of new people doing it. And people get a kick out of it. There's regulars that go every time they have it. And then there's new people that come every time. I'd say, I don't know, about a quarter of the people are new. And it's easy and it's fun. And it's not hard to get a dance partner. People are really good about asking you to come dance. And they're really good about working with people who've never done it before. And they walk you through it, not even with the music playing. They just simply show you how to do the dance. And then when they start the music, a one and a two and a da 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 da, right, they're doing their thing. And if you forget how to do it, then the experienced dancers will just move you along.
Yeah, they move you.
Yep. With a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. As the night goes on, then people start getting the rhythm of it. They start doing a little more technical, a little more fancy moves. Not super fancy, but a little more challenging moves. That because, you know, we want to keep it novel.
Right.
And keep people engaged mm-hmm. in it. And it's super fun. Again, really, really, well, it's a great thing to do. You know, talk about the things that really help with dopamine, the things that really help with seasonal affective disorder. There it is. One of the most effective tools you possibly can do is folk dancing. Now, I realize it's not for everybody.
Uh-huh. No, it's definitely not. So, Dr. Ooh. Looper, we do have no more time for this episode.
This is, I'm glad you asked to do the show. We were talking earlier before the show started.
You know, the time of year we're in, a lot of people deal with this, especially after how difficult this winter has been. I think that there are a lot of people in our community who are dealing with this, so.
Good.
Thank you.
Haley, thanks for bringing it up. I'm glad you did.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.